Hi, everyone. I'm grateful for this opportunity to do service and talk to you about my recovery. My name is Linda. I'm 36 years old and I'm a compulsive and emotional overeater. I'm also an atheist, and in the beginning of my OA journey, the hardest thing to say out loud at the meeting was the atheist part. And I'll get back to that. But first, let me tell you a bit about myself and my history with food and self-hatred. I grew up with emotionally immature parents. That meant I taught myself to put my own needs aside and adapt to theirs. I did everything I could to be an easy child to care for, so they would accept and love me. But in spite of my efforts, for different reasons, I didn't get the attention and support I needed as a kid, which led me to feeling like I was never enough. Even in my very early years, and I started using food as a coping mechanism right from the beginning. Eating was a soothing technique I could use and still not be a big problem for others. As many children, I was also taught that treats were something you earned for being well behaved. So sugar and snacks therefore meant approval. And eating gave me comfort and outlet for emotions I could not control or handle, and a way to meet those unmet needs. And food never wanted me to be something I wasn't, and it quickly became the answer to everything. Going into my teens, I was stuck between divorced parents, a mother who wanted me to be less and blend in, and a father who wanted me to be more and stand out, though from both sides came opinions about my weight and my lack of interest in physical activity, often in comparison to my very accomplished and athletic older brother. So I came to criticize myself for everything because that's what my family did. My clothes were wrong, my opinions were wrong, my choices and hobbies were wrong, just getting 9 out of 10 A's in school was wrong, and the list goes on. I remember the first time I made myself throw up, and it felt good to have control over something, to make a choice no one could see and therefore not criticize, and to be able to eat even more. And once I finally moved away from my family and into my own place at university, I didn't know who I was or what I wanted, just that I wasn't enough. I had bulimia, and my compulsive overeating was a fact I could no longer ignore, but something that I also had no tools to handle. I was very confused and lonely, even when I wasn't alone. So for about 15 years, I tried to fit in wherever I went. I tried to be easy to hang out with, easy to work with, easy to date, just easy to like at any given time and place. And during this period, I saw a string of therapists and I went on and off antidepressants. I leaned heavily on the support of friends as I never trusted my family with any of this, and I still don't. I could accomplish things in my studies and at work, but I could not stop overeating for any longer period of time. And for me, that meant it was all a failure. I did good things, I know that. People told me I was a smart student, a great coworker, a valued friend, and a beautiful young woman. But since I didn't feel like I was truly myself for any of it, or that I deserved any of their compliments, I never believed them. My family had taught me that being fat meant you were lazy and had bad impulse control. And as I gained weight, I couldn't hide it anymore, and I was ashamed of being that lazy, impulse-driven person they said I was. Along with the high bar I set for myself in everything, I could do nothing but binge, purge, make new promises, then binge again in an endless spiral of disappointment. I dieted often and gained back the weight I lost and more every time. Even if I eventually got a handle on the bulimia, the binging continued, and along with it, more weight gain, more shame, and more self-hatred. In 2021, I was the heaviest I've ever been and deeply depressed. I didn't want to die, but I didn't want to live like I was anymore. Unlike in the movies, I didn't go on a long journey to find myself. I just went to yet another therapist. But unlike all the others, this therapist saw my real problem. I was an addict. Sure, I did have severe and reoccurring depressions, And yes, I ate because I never learned how to handle my emotions in any other way or to prioritize my own emotions to start with. And of course, I ate because I was uncomfortable with myself and still didn't know how to be me. But most importantly, even on good days, I binged because I was an addict. And in that therapist's office, I figured out who I was, what I stand for, what I need, and what I like. I found out that I'm a pretty cool person, with the right to set boundaries and make demands of people around me, and that I matter. And as important as all that was, she also told me I could get more help with my addiction, from something called OA. Now, being a lifelong atheist, I was reluctant when researching OA. I logged on to my first meeting, desperate and really pushing myself to try it out, in spite of all the references to God and higher powers on the website. It did say that OA wasn't a religious fellowship, so I thought, all right, prove it. And even though I'm Swedish and Sweden is a very secular country, the OA literature and program is the same here. I spent the meeting trying to translate what was said into something I could relate to. I became resentful, even angry, and I totally failed to get the point. The few meetings I tried made me feel like there was something wrong with me, and I soon realized I couldn't do it. After all that work on becoming comfortable with myself, I couldn't really act as if God, this God-heavy program was helping me. Couldn't compromise on my feelings toward religion, the outdated language and worldviews, semantics or not. Just replacing the word in my head didn't work for me. And when I dared to say that I was an atheist, it felt like everyone was just waiting for me to get it and catch up. And I was not interested in conversion, like in the We Agnostics chapter. No, I needed to find another way to deal with my compulsive eating. This OA thing was not for me. So, like all desperate millennials, I went to Google for help, and I did find my answer within OA with the international online meetings with special topics for atheists, agnostics, and secular people, just like this meeting. And it was hidden away like small treasure within OA. And not only did I find others who knew what I was talking about, they had similar problems with the concept of what I call traditional OA. They offered practical solutions and guidance on how to work the program without a deity. And I'm really grateful because before COVID, I would not have found anything like that. But moving meetings online made the few secular more visible and could be visited by anyone, no matter the distance or the time zone. So once I found the part of OA I was comfortable with, where did I start? I had already made a list together with my therapist of triggering foods, stuff I couldn't stop eating once I started, mostly high sugar, high fat things, and a list of high risk situations such as stress, buffets, or celebrations. And that list became the foundation of my food and action plan. And I kept it very simple. I still do. I eat 3 meals a day and a healthy afternoon booster if I need it. I don't touch any of my trigger foods. I prepare my meals for work. I try to eat with others and never on the go or in front of the TV. I eat slowly and mindfully. And when I know risky situations are coming up, like traveling or family dinners, I plan for them and I have a backup plan in case I get stuck somewhere without healthy food options or stuck in a state of mind where I'm not going to make any good choices. Now, I was lucky to find a secular sponsor in a meeting, and she guided me through my own versions of the 12 steps, breaking down the purpose of the step to make it easier for me to grasp what I actually needed to do. And the principle of each step, like honesty, hope, or perseverance, is the same no matter the wording of the step itself. So, with her help, I went through the process of admitting my problem, mapping out my history and my unhelpful coping mechanisms to find new ways and energy to deal with emotions and form healthier habits and relationships. The steps gave me a way to lay a new foundation for my life, For example, my step 6 and 7 wasn't about defects of character that God was supposed to remove. It was me listing and categorizing unhealthy habits and turning them over into healthy goals. So my self-hatred became my goal to remind myself that I am enough and to practice self-compassion and self-care in decisions every day. And if you like the traditional steps, the big books, and the program, and feels like it helps you, that's great. Keep doing it. But for me, it took too much effort. In the virtual rooms, I found friends and fellows who I didn't have to adapt to or censor myself for. And I didn't have to spend energy translating what was said or read to make the program work for me. Instead, I could focus all that energy on my recovery and use the support and wisdom of those who went through it before me. Now, the first year, I struggled a bit to find my way and get into an abstinence that stuck. But when I truly embraced the phrase, whatever works, it all fell into place. For me, that sometimes meant a motivational playlist, walking home for work, or other times it meant prioritizing myself and leaving a dinner party early to avoid having to make a decision about dessert. Sometimes it even meant faking it and saying, no, actually, it's not hard for me at all. I don't even miss sugar when people ask me after trying to push sweets on me. Now, every person is different, so every recovery story is different. And I'm happy to say that I now have almost 2 years of abstinence, which I define as following my food plan and not binge on any food. I've spent the last years working the program my way, and I've developed healthy habits and routines for myself. Right now, I go to 2 secular meetings every week, check in with my sponsor regularly, and write my 10-step evaluation of those healthy goals to my accountability buddy every day. And I send something I'm grateful for to another buddy daily. I stay vigilant and I seek new inspiration in secular stories, in literature, science, podcast, and I'm actively in recovery. I'm not idle, I'm not done, I'm not recovered. It's a full-time job on top of my full-time job. And I try not to focus on weight and instead focus on how much more energy and quality of life I have, plus better results in blood tests and such things. And I also try to aim for progress, not perfection. You all know this. Even if I would slip tomorrow, it wouldn't mean that the game's over. It means I've done better for a longer period of time than ever before. Hopefully, I won't spiral all the way down to where I started, just pick myself up and keep going. And even if I did spiral down even further than before, it doesn't take away the good that I've already done. The program is still there for me, and with the help of the community, I'll get back up. So the only way to fail is to stop trying. And during these last years, I've become more comfortable being myself, taking up space and taking care of my own needs, and not always being easy to handle. How I act is my responsibility, and how everyone else feels about that is not. I can find comfort in music, let my cats soothe me, and express my feelings through writing or moving my body. I don't have to eat. I don't need sugar. I don't want to reach for those old coping mechanisms ever again. And I don't need to fake a belief in God or fabricate a higher power to fit in. I can get the energy and wisdom here that others share willingly. But the responsibility to act and actually change, that is up to me. But with the secular community, I think I have the support I need to keep going, just like you, one day at a time. So, from my share, please take what you like and leave the rest. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you so much.